Unshakable. That's what the series is that we've been doing, and we've been doing with giants, dealing with giants. And today we're going to deal with another giant, and that giant is the giant of guilt and shame. The giant of guilt and shame. Giants have been around a long time. In fact, Adam and Eve had to deal with a giant, and they succumbed to him in the Garden of Eden. And in Genesis, we read that there were Nephilim, or giants, as the Hebrew call them, Nephilim, that were on the earth in those days. And the place was very evil, and the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's in Genesis chapter 3. What is in Sunday morning's newspaper on the 20th of October? Has anything changed? The wickedness of man was great on the earth. Giants. Without casting any negative reflections on Roald Dahl's book, The BFG, who of you have read that book or read it to your kids? Without casting any bad reflection on the book, giants in storybooks are quite different to the giants in real life. In fact, most of the giants that you'll bump into these days are ugly, and they're fearsome. They're not friendly. The giant of guilt and shame is no different. He's not a friendly giant. He's an ugly giant. And he's a fearsome giant. And I'm going to speak to you about three things so you know where I'm going. I'm going to speak to you about what is this giant of guilt and shame all about? Who is he? What is he like? But in spite of what he's like and what he's capable of, we are unshakable in the Lord. And secondly, what does this giant tell us? What does he tell us? And in spite of what he tells us, we are unshakable in the Lord. The giant might be great, but our God is greater. Man, none of you believe that, eh? I said, the giants might be great, but God is greater. Amen. At last. Amen. And because we are unshakable, this giant of guilt and shame does not have the last word in our lives. He does not have the last word in our lives. I'm not going to ask this morning who of you that are sitting here this morning have suffered from guilt and shame. I'm not going to ask you, but you know in your own heart. I'm quite sure it's just about all of us, unless you're really saintly. In the days of old, in the last century, which is an awful long time ago for some people, I received the first of many canings. Do any of you know what a caning is? If you're in the modern school, yeah, the older guys know all about that, but the young guys in schools don't get that anymore. But I received my very first caning in class one, which is grade one. Grade one. I got it when I was in grade one, my first one. It was a new school. It was developing new gardens. They just happened to have a wonderfully newly planted bank. And a few of my friends, accomplices in crime, discovered that you could slide down this bank wonderfully. And over we slid down the bank. And this episode ended up in the headmistress's office. And we stood there with our heads bowed. And she said to us, "Why is your head bowed?" And we didn't answer. We didn't know what to say to her. We knew in grade one. So she said, "Your head's bowed because you're ashamed. You're ashamed. You're ashamed because you've done something wrong." And thus began my acquaintance with this giant of guilt and shame. He wasn't that big at that time, but he grew bigger. And for many people, he's huge. He's huge. And he's ugly, and he's dangerous. So the first thing I'm going to say to you today, what is this giant of guilt and shame capable of? What's he capable of? The giant that David met, giant Goliath, he was a capable man. I remember Heather's sermon on fear, and just how capable that the giant was. He was a fearsome man. Saul, the man who was head and shoulders over the rest of Israel, was under his bed in his tent. He was terrified. He was a big man, this giant. And the question today is, what is this giant capable of? And believe me, he is a very capable giant. He's capable. He's very powerful. And I would say to you today, don't ever underestimate the giant of guilt and shame. Don't underestimate him. For one outside of the love of Jesus, this giant of guilt and shame can be lethal. Can be absolutely lethal. The giant will destroy lives, and he'll destroy marriages. He'll destroy relationships. He'll destroy employment and so many more things. This giant can make you lose everything that you hold dear, all your plans, all your dreams. He can destroy it for you, the giant of guilt and shame. The end results of his action are often depression, serious illness. People get really sick from mulling over what has happened. And some people even commit suicide. And we all go through life and we gather events in our life that we wish had never happened. Isn't that true? You don't have to say amen to that, but I'm sure that if you look back on your lives, there'll be stuff that you wish had never happened in your life. And we hope nobody ever finds out about some of that stuff. And the giant always attacks us through our five senses. It looks good. It feels good. It tastes good. It sounds good. And it even smells good. He attacks us through those things. And he started his dirty work, this giant of guilt and shame. He started his dirty work very early in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, he confronted Adam and Eve at the tree. And he said to them, did God really say? Did God really say? And put a doubt in their mind. And it goes on in verse 6 to say, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit, and she ate it and gave to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it also. Now let me just tell you that I believe that Adam was probably one of the most knowledgeable and clever men that ever lived. Because sin hadn't happened up until that time, and God made everything perfect, including Adam's brain. And so he was no fool, and yet confronted with this thing, he fell. He fell. And so education is no prevention against the attacks of this giant of guilt and shame. In short, it's the lust of the eyes, it's the lust of the flesh, and it's the pride of life. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and pride of heart. In fact, in 1 John chapter 2, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. It's from the world that we get these things. There's always something that we know is wrong, but it looks good, or it tastes good. It attracts us in some way. And very often, we do it anyway, even though we know it's not right. We do it anyway. And we're always sorry afterwards, aren't we? Always sorry afterwards. Wish we hadn't done that. We are fallen human beings, and this giant somehow knows just where to get into our lives, just where to get hold of us. And each of us knows the weak spot that is in our own life. It may be money, it might be ambition, it might be lust. It might be alcohol or any number of other areas that you have a weakness in, and this devil knows exactly where to push our buttons. And you know, Jesus, when he walked on this earth, he also suffered an attack from this devil, this giant. And as he walked on our streets and walked in the dust of our roads. And in Hebrews chapter 4 it says, for we do not have a high priest who is Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. That is Jesus. He was tempted in every area that we are, and yet he did not sin. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that we have a Savior who never fell foul of this giant? I must just tell you this. I often chuckle when they talk about young ladies and they say, she fell pregnant. And that, How does a girl fall pregnant? She gets pregnant, but she doesn't fall pregnant. And let me tell you that you don't fall into sin either. You don't fall into sin. You choose to sin. You choose to sin. It looks nice, it tastes nice, smells nice, feels good. What do? We fall into sin. Someone once wrote that we are not sinners because we sin. He said, we sin because we are sinners. That's why we sin. And you know something? Sin is always selfish. It's always me. It's always mine. It's always what I want. It's always what's going to look good on me. Isn't that true? It's always me and mine. And this giant is strong and he's crafty and his attacks are always destructive. He will never build you up. He will always destroy you. And after he's done his dirty work and you've succumbed to the temptation and your hands are all dirty, what does this giant say to you? Oh yes, this giant tells us something. The second thing I want to say today, he tells us something. What does the giant say to you? Immediately you've fallen, this giant will say to you, now look at what you've done. Look at what you've done. You're guilty. How could you do this? Wait until people find out about you, my friend. This is what the giant will tell you. Wait till the people find out about you. You're a failure. You're finished. You're no good. You've got a weak character. It's what the giant will do to you. You better not be seen in that church again. Ooh, you better not pray out in that church. Wait till people know who you really are. That's what this giant will say to you. Have you heard that voice? He's the giant of guilt and shame. And the sad thing is he's often right, isn't he? He's often right in his accusation in our life. And shame grabs you by your throat and you can't seem to get free. And you feel helpless and you feel worthless. Just a failure. But the giant's taunt and the giant's charge against us is not the last word on the matter. This series is entitled Unshakable, and as the children of God we can be unshakable. Unshakable. There is hope and there's good news for each one of us. Today in Christ Jesus there's forgiveness and there's restitution. In John chapter 8 and verse 11, Jesus said to the woman who was taken in adultery, was she guilty? Yes, she was guilty. The people caught her red-handed. The church leaders brought her to Jesus and said, we caught her in the very act. And what does Jesus say to the woman? Where are all your accusers? Where are your accusers? And she said, there aren't any. And he said these words to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and from now on, sin no more. What are the words of Jesus? Are they condemnationary? Does Jesus condemn us? Jesus forgives us if we come to him and he'll build us up again. So thirdly, what I would like to say to you is that we are unshakable because this giant doesn't have the last word. This giant does not have the last word. The giant that 15-year-old David confronted in 1 Samuel 17, Goliath, he was so big and he was so ugly that David couldn't miss. I mean, he was all over the place. He couldn't miss this guy. But let me tell you that the giant that David faced in 2 Samuel chapter 11 was just as big and just as ugly, but quite different. David couldn't avoid him. David couldn't avoid him. He couldn't miss Goliath. But this giant that he met in 2 Samuel 11, he couldn't avoid. And this is the giant that confronts each of us today. 2 Samuel 11, I'm going to give you my paraphrase of the whole chapter, otherwise we'll be reading here all morning. Basically, the story in brief tells that David was sleeping on the roof of his house, as they do often in the Middle East. It's really hot, as it's been in South Africa recently. And David was sleeping on the roof, the flat roof of his house, of the palace, probably because it was so hot, and he got up during the night because it was so uncomfortably hot, and he took a little walk around the roof. And he looked out over the roofs of the houses around about the palace, and lo and behold, on the roof nearby, there was this unbelievably beautiful woman, and she had no clothes on, and she was having a bath. And David looked, and he saw her, and he lusted after her, and he was the king. So he sent somebody to go and fetch her, and he fetched her, and he slept with her. And then he found out she was another man's wife. Another man's wife. But, you know, he was the king, so it's no problem, really. He had the husband killed. He had him murdered. He had the husband killed, and then he took the lady, who was now pregnant with his child, and she became his wife. So, problem solved, eh? All done and dusted. One small problem. Everything that he did, every action that David performed, was performed right in the eyes of God. Every action was performed in the full view of God, who sees every detail. Every detail. We can hide nothing from him. And we may behave discreetly, and we may behave in the dark, but God sees all in the light. He sees all in the light. And so in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, God sends Nathan the prophet. And Nathan comes along and tells him a very sad story. And he tells him about this rich man who's got everything. He's got flocks of sheep, and he's got cows, and he's got everything. He's a very wealthy, wealthy man. And there was a poor man who only had one sheep. And this sheep was like a pet for him. It lived in his house with him. And this rich man took the poor man's only sheep in order to make a meal for a visitor that was coming. And so he takes this man's sheep, and he kills it, and he makes a meal for his visitor, who thought the meal was great. And David was furious. David was furious. David said, that guy deserves to die. He can't do that. He's got everything. Why did he take this poor man's food? It's a poor man's lamb. He deserves to die. And isn't it interesting how quickly we can condemn other people's sin when we know in the back of our hearts that there's a little secret hidden there? Isn't that true? We can hide the stuff, but we know that we are just as guilty. And you know, after David had this big flare of anger, and he said, this guy ought to die, Nathan spoke these chilling words to him. David, you that man, you are that rich man. David is cut to the heart. He realizes that he's that person, and he's cut to the heart. And guilt and shame gets him by the throat. Shame has followed the human race from our early parents in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve faced this giant when Satan tempted them. Cain suffered from this giant after he killed his brother. Judas Iscariot was so overcome by this giant that he went and committed suicide. And there are many people who followed Judas Iscariot where guilt and shame has been so great in their life that they saw no way out. They couldn't continue living, and they've gone and committed suicide. And Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, and many of you know this verse, there's none righteous, no, not one. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us is exempt. None of us. Every single person, you and I, the whole lot of us, none of us are exempt. But you know, the giant of guilt and shame doesn't have the last word. Why? Because God has the last word. God has the last word. Come on, guys, give me an amen for that. God has the last word. This is what God says to you and to me. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, God says this, come now, Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. And 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is patient. The Lord is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. The giants of guilt and shame wants to destroy you, but God. Folk, when you get home, have a look through your Bible and see how many times you read, but God. But God. But God has the last word. God's word to you today and to me today is, come now. Come now. Let us reason together. Come now, let us reason together. What that giant has said is probably all true, and he probably only told half the story. But there's a greater voice, the voice of Almighty God, and he says this today, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be like wool. And 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we've got no sin, and maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, I've got nothing to be ashamed of. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, we confess our sins to him. He is faithful. God is faithful, and he's just, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can I have some of this holy water? Who of you have read Robert Morris's book, The God I Never Knew? Nobody. In fact, let me encourage you, get a hold of that book. Robert Morris, The God I Never Knew. It's a wonderful book. I'll read you a little excerpt from this book. He tells of an incident where he was visiting another church. And he writes, I recall the time when I was visiting as a guest minister at a church where I really didn't know anyone in the congregation. So he arrived there, didn't know anybody who was sitting there in the congregation. I was sitting on the platform waiting to speak. And as we were singing and worshipping, I looked out over the people and my eyes fell upon a particular woman. And at that instant, I heard the familiar voice of the Holy Spirit speaking something to me in my ear. When it was time for me to preach, I walked up to the pulpit and I spoke directly to her. Ma'am, would you please stand up? Imagine this happening. Imagine if I asked one of you, ma'am, won't you please stand up for a moment? I said, when we were worshipping, the Holy Spirit pointed you out to me. He said to me, Robert, do you know her past? Do you know her past? When I said that, the woman's countenance fell and she began staring at the floor. But I wasn't finished and I said, yes. The Holy Spirit asked me if I knew your past. And I said, no, Lord, I don't. And the Holy Spirit said, neither do I. Neither do I. At that she lifted up her head and began to smile. You know, ma'am, I said, I know that God knows everything. He sees everything. But he told me to tell you that he has chosen not to remember your past. He's forgotten it. And he says to you this morning, you need to do the same. The giant of guilt and shame is a great giant. But God is greater. The last word from God to you this morning is, come now, let us reason together. If you have never come to Jesus, this giant has got a hold of you, the word is, come. Come to Jesus. If you are a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, and this giant still has a hold of you, the same word applies. Jesus said, come. Come, let us reason together. And in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, I will be merciful toward their iniquities. I will remember their sins no more. And I want to tell you today, God is a God of second chances. He is. He's a God of second chances. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul writes, therefore if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. We become unshakable. We're a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says this, and you need to remember this verse. If you remember nothing else I said this morning, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So folk, will you come today? Will you receive God's forgiveness and His peace? Amen. Come. Shall I pray? Father, we thank you that we have someone who's greater than the giant of guilt and shame. Yes, he is great, and yes, he is ugly, and he's fearsome. But you are greater, and you're the God of second chances. And you say to each of us today, come. Come, let's reason together. Come, let me tell you what I did for you on the cross. Come. You don't have to carry this any longer. Come. And so, Father, we thank you. Father, thank you for the blessing of everyone here this morning. Thank you for the worship today. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful way in which we have felt your Spirit move in this church today. And we bless you for that. Won't you bless each single person here in the church today? Won't you please all stand? I'm going to do something that you don't often do. I'm going to read. I'm going to read a doxology. And you think that only happens in a high Anglican church. But folks, I want you to listen to this. I want you to make this yours today. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling. And to present you blameless in his presence. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thanks so much, Evan. That was awesome and really so much just for us to take.